Today, we're going to be diving into a topic that is crucial for every aspiring engineer, and that is how to accelerate your career through obtaining your professional engineering license. As an engineering leader, you know firsthand that achieving work-life balance can be hard. Many business owners struggle with the balance between their personal lives and their work. This leads to stress and a feeling of regret. But that's not the case for the listeners of the Engineer Your Success podcast with Dr. James Bryant. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. Tune in. Let's engineer your success today. I want to welcome you to the Engineer Your Success podcast. My name is Dr. James Bryant, your host for the show. This podcast provides tools, tips, and techniques to help you achieve success both in business and in life. And it is my pleasure to guide you on your journey to designing and living a life where you are winning at work and at home. And I hope that you are having a great week. Before we jump into today's discussion, I wanted to share some exciting news and provide some context for today's episode. Earlier this year, Engineer Your Success was contracted by the Michigan Department of Transportation to develop and deliver a leadership program for their summer interns and early career professionals. We developed what we call the Transportation Leadership Launchpad, and this is a 4-session virtual program that's delivered over the summer to equip the participants with the skills and insights needed to become the next generation of transportation leaders. So here's just a general quick overview of the program. In session one, we covered your roadmap to your transportation career. And here the participants were tasked with developing a clear vision for their future in the transportation industry. In session two, we talked about accelerating your career through the fundamentals of engineering exam and the PE licensure. And that really focused on the importance of those two in your career progression. And that's a lot of what we're going to talk about in this episode and in next week's episode. Session number three was navigating your professional world. How do you put your best foot forward? That equips participants with the skills to navigate the professional world confidently. And session number four was fueling your success, harnessing your unique strength. And that is all about helping participants to uncover and leverage their unique strengths so that they can show up strong in the marketplace. So over the next two episodes, we're going to talk about how you can accelerate your career through becoming a professional engineer. And so what you're going to hear is part of a panel discussion that we had in session two of the Transportation Leadership Launchpad. So in this episode, we're going to explore the importance of the fundamental of engineering exam. And then we're going to start talking about how do you navigate the path to your professional engineering licensure. We go into some key differences on the impact of your PE on your career when you're in the public sector versus the private sector, and just in general, talking about how the professional engineering licensure helps to progress you along your career. We have expert panelists that are providing their personal stories and their journeys. And the whole goal of this episode is to provide practical advice for those looking to advance in the engineering field. So you're going to gain insights into the challenges and rewards of pursuing professional engineer licensure and how it can shape your career trajectory. Okay, I want to welcome you to this session of the Transportation Leadership Launchpad. This is our second session, and we're going to be focusing on accelerating your career through the fundamentals of engineering and the PE professional engineering licensure. So as an aspiring engineer professional, you're embarking on a journey that's both challenging and rewarding. The fundamentals of engineering FE and the professional engineering certifications or credentials are key milestones in your journey. These act as accelerators for your career, opening up new opportunities, accelerating your growth, and it's absolutely something consider as you are working towards your career vision. We are blessed to have great panelists today that are going to talk about their experiences. And I'm going to ask you all to do a brief self-introduction, and then we're going to get into some of the questions. And Erin, I'm going to start with you.
I'm Erin Donovan. I work for T3 Design Corporation. We're based in Fairfax, Virginia. I have about 24 years of experience in all in consulting engineering, roadway design, land development design, traffic engineering. Had PEs in various states throughout the country. Currently, I have a PE in Virginia, Maryland, Delaware, Pennsylvania, and North Carolina. I'm excited to be here today and talk to you about the FEPE process. It's something I'm very passionate about and want to help guide you on the right path and answer any questions you have.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Andre Boykin Jr. I am a branch engineer. I have a combination of experience in both private and public sector. I worked at Illinois Department of Transportation for about 8 years, and I've been in private sector the remaining 5 years of my career. I am currently a branch engineer based out of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Hey everyone, I am Hitisha. I also go by Tish or Tisha. I have 8 years of engineering experience, mostly with a background in electrical engineering. In the last 8 years, I've been able to add a lot of different projects into my portfolio, ranging from working as a project engineer on Long Island Railroad and some of the transit projects like highway and roadways development, sometimes on the electrical side and sometimes on the project engineering side. I've worked on a lot of high school buildings, and recently my experience has been related to a lot of capital improvement planning for hospitals. Yeah, so now I'm taking all of that experience and starting a new job at an MEP startup. So, yeah, I'm excited about that.
Good morning from Anchorage, Alaska. Anna Boson. I'm the Regional Traffic Safety Engineer for the Department of Transportation for the state of Alaska. I've been working since 2002. I've had both private and public experience, and I've been with the state of Alaska for almost 16 years. I have a mechanical engineering undergraduate degree, but ended up working in civil for my entire career and loved it. I'm a registered civil engineer with the state of Alaska since 2009.
So let's get started. We all want to know, can you talk about your path to getting the PE? You can talk about the experiences that you've had with the FE and then your time getting the experience under a professional engineer or any other challenges that you face. We're going to be pretty free-flowing with the discussion. I am going to ask Anna to start us off with that because Anna sent me a whole bunch of notes that she says she wanted to make sure that she covers.
Yeah, I did send some notes to James late last night. I finished college in California, and so worked for the local municipality right after college because I didn't want to leave my college town. I loved college so much. I worked there for about 4 years in California. You can sit for the PE after 2 years of experience instead of I think most states it's 4 years. Getting my FE right after I graduated allowed me to then have that clock start right when I got my first job. I was very motivated to track all of that time for my first job and worked under a licensed engineer and made sure it was very clear that that was my trajectory. And so set for the PE exam in California. And this was back in the day before they had computer stuff. You had to go to the state fairground in Sacramento and sit there. People are bringing in their pillows. Somebody wheeled in their own chair. I mean, it's kind of an experience if you're a man going to this exam location, expect a line for the bathroom. And for women, I got to just walk right in. There was no one waiting. So I was loving that part. But anyway, I'll let some other panelists talk further.
Hatisha, what about you?
So my PE experience wasn't as, for me personally, I didn't have as much clarity going into the industry. In fact, this is something that Dr. James and I talked about during our podcast episode, where it took me first couple of years to even figure out whether or not I want to be in this industry. And a part of the reason was what you just mentioned in your story, the like no line for women's bathrooms. For me, it was so hard to really picture myself succeeding and seeing myself in the roles which were traditionally held by very certain specific looking people. And being the only one in the room often made me feel like since I was just getting out of school, I will use the right language. It just made me feel not cool at all. And it made me feel like I'm going into maybe an industry which no one is going to care about in the future. So yeah, but over the time, first couple of years, when I saw that I was, as a young engineer, I was being exposed to the clients and I was participating in some of the decisions that impacted the cities that I was living in. And I could know people like the Department of Transportation and the government bodies in our cities. That narrative helped me see the importance in it. And then as I stuck with it, I realized that I need to give this industry a fair try by going for the best qualification that there is in there before I make my own judgments about the industry, right? So that's how I ended up getting my PE, to figure things out for myself.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. Andre?
So my journey to licensure, I didn't know how important it was to be licensed in college. Went to Tennessee State University, got my undergraduate in civil engineering, got a degree in architectural engineering. Then I went to grad school and got my master's in structural engineering. But I started working for Illinois DOT in November of 2011. And one of my mentors, he's one of my first supervisors, Rich Dotson, he was telling me, hey, Andre, if you really want to advance, you got to get licensure. You can't have any vertical movement without it. You really have a low ceiling if you don't get your credentials, particularly if you're in civil engineering, transportation space. There's no way you can ascend without those credentials. So I hunkered down and start going after trying to get my credentials. And it's a grind. You know, you got to dedicate yourself to studying and really kind of shutting out the outside world for a few months, actually, because you've got to really be committed to passing the exam. And really, it's a test of dedication, determination, and resiliency, because you're talking to someone who was a repeat test taker for both the FE and the PE. But when you look me up, you're going to see that license behind my name. Yep. So that's all that matters. You dig deep and you find out a lot about yourself, like how badly do you want this? Because there has to be a level of comfort for NCES to pass you. And you don't want, if you're going to be engaging with a client, like you want to have your core competencies and have at least a technical acumen to be able to talk to the client and to be able to do good work. So it's just so important. I got a lot of civil engineering mentees and I tell them after I ask them how they're doing, that's the next thing that comes out of my mouth. Like, when are we studying for the FE? And like to date, I think I've got about 8 mentees that I've helped pass that exam. And it just really brightens my day because it's just so important. Like if you're an engineer, and I like them to finish in a race. Like if you went to school and you got your engineering degree, you know, can you really say you're an engineer? You got a degree, but you know, in the state of North Carolina, I can't say I'm an engineer without a PE license. Like there, NC Bells is going to call you a designer. Like you cannot, the name engineer, it comes with a lot of, you know, there's a lot of power behind that title, engineer. And, you know, you just want to finish the race. I wanted to go through all the steps so that I can really say that I'm a fully competent engineer.
Thank you, Andre. I appreciate that. Again, I was several time a test taker as well. Aaron?
What great stories from everyone else. Mine's very similar, but a little bit different. I'll add a few things that I don't know that have been said so far. I'll say that because I think we're speaking to some folks that are still in college. I was fortunate enough in my college undergraduate experience to have mentors and guides that pushed me to get that EIT taken care of. That's a hard test, and that test does not get any easier with time. You have to draw back to freshman year in college. So the longer you wait to take that test, the harder it's going to get. I actually took it as a senior. I think Anna might have said you can take it senior year. I mean, I took it April of my senior year, got it done, and then didn't have to think about it, and then was on that path towards the PE. So I would highly recommend consider doing that or taking it as soon as possible after you graduate. And then my process from there, I guess I always kind of knew I was on that PE process. Maybe I saw others ahead of me in their career and I saw they had a PE, and that was just, I knew I was going to proceed in that direction. I wanted to be, like Andre said, I wanted that vertical mobility, and I knew that I had to have that PE to get that, to be able to be a manager, to be able to continue to progress in my career. So for me, that was very important. But just having that PE, just having engineer behind your name, it lends a certain credibility to you when you reach out to clients or peers, colleagues about projects. Just saying I'm a PE, that means that you've taken this, you have finished the race, as Andre said. I like that. I'm a runner, so I like that comparison. So having that is really important behind your name, whether you're signing and sealing plans or whether you're, you know, whatever you're doing in the industry, just lends you that credibility. I guess I kind of accelerated that process as much as I could. I used my master's degree as a year of experience. I used a couple of internships and I took that PE test as soon as I could. I think it's really important to try and carve out time specifically for studying for the PE. Although I was with Anna, I was carrying in a rolling suitcase of books. And that was the old days when you went to a testing center and you had it with everybody and you could only take it twice a year. So things have changed slightly. Anyway, I think studying with others is really helpful, especially for the PE, because you can bounce ideas off of each other and just carve out that time. It's hard. I know life is busy. There's a lot of things competing for our attention, and you have a full-time job, most likely. So you're trying to fit that in. But it's important. And so carving out time is important. And if you can have a study group, I had two study buddies and we are still in touch to this day. So if you can do that, I would highly recommend it. So I think that's it, James. I'll turn it back over to you.
Yeah. And for me, very similar. So I knew I wanted to go to grad school and get my PhD, right? So I went to North Carolina A&T. We talked about taking the FE. We even had a class for the EIT. I did not pass it at that time. Kind of beat myself up a little bit and then kept saying, I'm going to take it again. And you keep delaying. Then I made the excuse, well, I'm going to have my PhD and maybe I'll go teach at a university. Maybe I don't need it. And then the further I got along, even in doing research and in grad school, I knew that I wanted to do something that was going to be more practical. And since I was going to be doing things more practical, I was going to be touching the lives of people and dealing with people where the PE actually meant something. And so then it became a little bit more serious for me. And I eventually passed the EIT and then I started working and getting the experience that I needed to be able to take the PE. And the actual, the first time I took the PE was the day before I got married. So needless to say, I didn't do as well that time as I did the next time that I took it. But again, nobody's counting how many times that you take it. Okay, Anna, and this question, I think is a good one for you and Andre to talk about, and that's the difference between the public and private sector. Because I mean, you're in the public sector now, Anna. Andre, you've been in the public sector and are now in the private sector. Let's have a bit of a discussion about that. And any of the other panelists, if there's a point that you want to weigh in on, just raise your hand and I'll make sure that we add you in. Go ahead, Anna.
So like I mentioned earlier, I started with a city municipality for my first part of my career for 4 years, sat for the exam in California, did not pass on the first time or the second time, finally passed on the third time. But after I passed it on the third time, I then moved to Alaska. And so they have their own process, and I needed a few more years of time, responsible charge time, and just standard professional time. And so I actually was working for a private company at the time in a small community, and I won't say the community, but I was working there, and there was a professional engineer in that community. And the agreement was he knew I wanted to get my PE in Alaska. I had already passed the exam. I was just waiting for the time needed to be on the record for the licensure. And he agreed to it verbally and through the company. And then when the time came for him to sign off on that time, he presented me with a non-competition agreement that he expected me to sign and say that I would not actually work as an engineer for 5 years after getting my PE in Alaska. I was completely blindsided by it, and so was the rest of the professionals at the company. I declined signing that, and then left that community and started working for Alaska. I bring all of that drama to share with you that there is competition in the private industry, and there's so much behind getting that PE that there is some people who might feel threatened by that, especially if you're working in a small area or a very niche market and you're getting that experience. It was a disappointing thing because then I had to basically work that much longer to delay my transfer in order to get the PE. I work for the state of Alaska, and I've been with the state for almost 16 years since that point. They were very supportive. Many people in the agency, it's a very engineer heavy industry and heavy in the government part aspect of it. It's a requirement for moving up in the department. Senior leadership, they all have their PEs. It's very much part of the culture. And I would say it's the thing that offers you the opportunity to be a decision maker. Because when you are not a PE here, you are essentially working under the decision makers. So it is limiting, like James and others have mentioned earlier, for government, I believe.
Thank you, Anna.
So starting off in public sector, I loved my time at Illinois DOT. I got a chance to really learn from a lot of people and mentors I still talk to this day. But if I would kind of comparing the two, like when I transitioned to private sector, I had to learn a lot more at a faster rate, because the difference between one of the things with private sector, everything is based on bottom line and your utilization. And for our students and audience, utilization is what you can charge to billable projects. You want to be as billable as much as possible so you're not charging overhead or admin time when you do your time card entries. Because consultants, like we are, you're in the private sector, we are giving our expertise to the client and they're paying for that expertise. And so the budget of a project, you're trying to keep the budget healthy by any means necessary. You're trying to make sure that we nail that scope of services. Basically, students, the scope of services is when you put together a project, like what are the said tasks that you would have to do from conceptual design to final construction documents? Like what's the design process look like? That would be your scope. And so like when I became a consultant, it's like, man, I had to kind of really put in extra hours to get up to speed because they're expecting you to kind of hit the ground running. Like if you're entry level, you know, there'll be a series of training. You may have someone you work up under, but yeah, for the most part, you kind of got to hit the ground running. And so becoming a consultant just really forced me to grow quicker and really tested how hungry I was to kind of go out and get information. I was spending a lot of late hours just trying to get up to speed, reading different policies, codes, and standards, just trying to make sure that I'm putting my best foot forward professionally. Consultants, like, because everything is based on what the company is generating, you know, income, like when work slows down, there may be layoffs. Now, public sector, there's a little more job security. And so you kind of got to weigh the pros and cons, but I've been private now for 5 years and it forced me mentally to be sharper as an engineer, which, you know, that helped me in the long run.
Aaron, is there anything you'd like to add?
As a consultant who does work for DOTs, basically, like our clients are Virginia DOT, Maryland State Highway Association, and others, we're often asked by our clients to provide staff to help them, and they have to have certain credentials. So having more PEs as a private company helps us with our credentials, helps us show that we have a commitment to engineering, and it kind of raises our level of professionalism. That's what we encourage. Even if they're not going to be signing and sealing plans, it's important that they get that PE and show that commitment to the engineering profession. That helps us. You know, I've never in the public sector, except for doing some staff augmentation. It does help us with our proposals and, you know, when we develop scopes of work, like Andre was talking about, when we show the people that will be working on our contracts and tasks, it helps us. I don't think it really matters if you're in public or private. I think it's still kind of, you know, especially in civil engineering, I think it's still something that helps you, helps the company or the agency you're working for, and is mutually beneficial either way.
So there's an analogy that I got from one of my mentors, James Bell. He's a PE as well. He worked with me at Illinois Department of Transportation. He put an analogy to me that I use constantly. So when I didn't have my license, it was like, I'm trying to get in my favorite restaurant, but I won't be seated. That's how I felt. Because you're in the presence of engineers with licenses, you don't have one. So I'm in my favorite restaurant. I ain't even got seated yet. When I get the FE, I'm seated and they feed me salad and bread. I'm not really eating the full meal yet because I don't have the PE. When you get the PE, now you get the full menu, whatever you want to eat. So it helps tremendously. Just get it done and you don't have to think about it.
As we wrap up this discussion on the importance of professional engineering licensure, I want to thank our incredible panel of experts again for sharing their expertise and their advice. In next week's episode, we're going to be diving even deeper into this topic, focusing on tips and strategies for preparing for both the fundamentals of engineering exam and the professional engineering exam. Remember, it is never too late to pursue your professional engineering license. It is a journey that requires dedication, perseverance, but the rewards in terms of career growth and professional satisfaction are well worth the effort. I'm going to end this podcast like I end every podcast episode, and that's this. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it. And there's a select group of people that follow through, do it, and are living the life of their dreams. I want you to be part of that select few. You are worthy to be part of that select few. And I look forward to helping you get there. All right. Thanks. Thank you for listening to Engineer Your Success with Dr. James Bryant. Do me a favor and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. Many people know what to do. Fewer people know how to do it, and a small fraction of people actually do it. I believe that you can have success both in business and in life, and it's my passion to guide you on your path to engineering your success. Thanks.